Hi, this is Dennis Byrd, and you're listening to the 5%ers podcast, where we'll learn why it is that only 5% of people who lose weight never gain it back. I'll bring my expertise in life coaching, my advanced studies in psychology, and my own personal story of beating obesity, so we can learn new ways of thinking and adopt powerful strategies to lose weight and keep it off for life. Thanks for joining me today, and you're listening to 5%ers Podcast, episode number 13, The Problem with Pessimism. Over the next couple of podcasts, I'm going to be talking about pessimism and optimism, so we can really get an understanding of how pessimism hurts us and how optimism helps us. One of the things I want to keep in mind is that we're talking about a continuum between pessimism and optimism. So very few people are all pessimistic and very few people are all optimistic. And I would say that both sides of those, if you are either of those extremes, it's not helpful. So there is a continuum between pessimism and optimism. And most of us are somewhere on that continuum, leaning more towards pessimism or more towards optimism. The problem with pessimism is that it keeps us stuck. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in the lives of hundreds of people that I've coached over the years, that when we want to move forward in our goals and in our life, it just holds us back. So ultimately, pessimism keeps us from realizing our goals. It's kept me from reaching my goals around my health, around my career, even around my relationships. Now, what is interesting about pessimism and optimism is that sometimes we associate those two traits with people of certain personalities. So pessimists, you know, maybe say, they're the people that are more quiet and a little bit more shy, you know, those are the pessimists. And the people that are outgoing and really talkative, those are our optimists. Well, pessimism and optimism really has to do nothing with those personality traits, whether you're a little bit more reserved, quiet, introverted, or extroverted. I'm more of an extrovert, and I was a pessimist, and a lot of people didn't really understand that because they thought because I was outwardly outgoing, positive about you, they didn't see how internally I was pessimistic. So let's talk about what pessimism is and what it's not. You know, is it more than just being negative? Are you a pessimist if you have negative thoughts? Is it more than being gloomy and depressed? Are you a pessimist if you feel down a lot? Well, I really want to give you some of the best things about pessimism and optimism that I've heard, and they all come from Dr. Martin Seligman, who's a professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And Dr. Seligman has done decades of research into pessimism and optimism, and he's, I think, the leading authority. So what he will say is that pessimism ultimately is not the way that we think or what we say, but it's a way of interpreting life events. It's how we see things. So this interpretation of life events, whether they're positive, negative, or maybe neutral, has some unique characteristics that are different than optimism. First, a pessimist will interpret life events in ways that are very personal. Second, they'll interpret them in ways that are permanent. And then third, they'll interpret life events in ways that are pervasive. So let's talk about the personal. And what I mean by personal is a pessimist will have something happen in their life. Let's relate it to health, you know. So a pessimist is discouraged about their weight loss, discouraged about their health, and their interpretation of that will be all internal. And so pessimists tend to blame themselves. They tend to tear at their own self-esteem. They ignore their strengths and their capabilities. So a pessimist will say, you know, I fundamentally can't lose weight. It's just how I am. There's something wrong with me. You know, everybody else can lose weight, but I can't. And so they have this very personal way of interpreting an event. And the problem with that pessimism is that your self-esteem starts to lower and your confidence starts to get hit upon. Next, it's permanent. So what I want you to pay attention to is the language of pessimism, which is permanence. So this always happens to me, or this never works. So people will say, I'm never going to lose weight. It's that all or nothing thinking. It's that permanence. You know, these diets always fail me, and I can't ever seem to stick to them. You know, I don't have the willpower. You know, you have to have willpower to lose weight, and I don't have any, right? And so you'll hear this permanent language. So as you're going through life, just keep an open ear to what you're hearing, whether it's what you're saying or people around you. And if you hear people with this all or nothing thinking, this permanent way of thinking and explaining things, you're going to hear it in their language. Like, this always happens, or you never keep your word, or, you know, this is something that is going on all the time. And so you have that language of permanence. Lastly, the problem with pessimism, according to Dr. Martin Seligman, is that it's pervasive. And what he means by that is that you allow a failure in one area of life to creep into other non-related areas. You let it permeate into other areas. An example, you're struggling with your weight, you're on a diet plan, you're starting to lose weight, and then you, for whatever reason, you give up. And you start down this pessimistic rank where you have this blaming attitude, like, God, I know I couldn't do this. I'm such a failure. Everybody else is so much more, you know, capable than I am. I can't do this. And I'm never going to lose the weight. So you have that personal and that permanence. And then you let it creep into areas like, you know, now, you know, I'm sure my spouse is going to be frustrated with me. You know, this is going to hurt my career. You know, it's, you know, you'd let it permeate into areas that really don't have to do with whatever event you're interpreting. So it could hit your relationships, it could hit your friendships, it could hit your career. And what you'll see is somebody kind of spirals out of control. And if you've been around somebody who's in that pessimistic interpretation, you're kind of thinking to yourself, I don't get it. Like, how does this one area of their life really have to do anything with another area? But a pessimist will take it there. So let's play it out a little bit. So let's say a pessimist is, you know, starting a new diet. And for, you know, a number of weeks, maybe even a number of months, they're having a lot of success and they're really excited about it. And it's not that pessimists aren't successful, but here's what happens. So the pessimist will go to a holiday party and without planning on it, they just let loose and they just eat everything in sight. They totally blow their diet and it just gets the best of them. So they've had those months, maybe and weeks of success, but they had this one event where they just let loose and lost control. Well, here's how a pessimist interprets that. Gosh, I'm so weak. You know, I knew I couldn't do this. You know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I have the willpower I need? Why can't I say no? Why can't I be like everybody else and just, you know, leave the desserts away or not take the extra slice of pizza or, you know, only have two drinks and not four? And they just start blaming themselves and you'll see their emotions start tumbling and their self-esteem starts tanking. You'll hear the permanence and they'll start saying things like, gosh, I know these diets don't work. They always fail. I always blow it. And I'm never, ever going to be able to lose the weight. It's just always going to come back on. The weight always comes back on. And then you'll hear the pervasiveness. Well, I'm sure my colleagues just think I'm a dork and they just think that I'm out of control. You know, I'm sure my boss is paying attention and he's probably going to, you know, notice that I don't have any control around food and maybe that's going to hurt my career and my promotional capabilities, you know, and, you know, I'm sure that my girlfriend's not going to, you know, want to be around me because I'm gaining weight. And you just hear this permanence, you know, pervasiveness and this personal interpretation of this event and just takes them, you know, really in a bad direction. That is the problem with pessimism. So what I encourage you to do is just kind of think through this podcast a little bit, maybe re-listen to it, maybe take notes. Because if you're really struggling with your weight and you're coming up with a lot of these negative interpretations, we've got to start turning this around. So here's really the nitty-gritty and the problems of pessimism. Is first, pessimists tend to take things out of context. So in my life as a former pessimist, I was just like the person you described. I would start a new diet. I'd have weeks, maybe even months of success. And I'd go to an event, a holiday party, some kind of event where there's just a lot of food, and I just blow it and I lose control and I just really, you know, pack on the food. Well, you go through this kind of pessimist, you know, interpretation, and you start focusing on your failures, not on your successes. So instead of looking at the 2 to 3 months of success, I would focus on the one night of failure. And let's be honest, if you've got 2 months behind you and you're doing great and you've got some momentum, one meal, even if it's 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 calories, one meal is not going to kill you. I mean, it's not going to erase 3 months worth of activity. But as a pessimist, that's what you focus on. You focus on the fact that you failed, not on the fact that you succeeded. As a result, pessimists tend to fold quickly. So when they encounter a defeat or a failure or a mistake, they tend to give up a lot sooner. And you'll hear people say things like, I can't do this, or it's too hard. And I might as well just eat the way I want because it's no use anyway. Eventually, I'm just going to blow it anyway. So one of the really interesting things about pessimism is that you'll find a lot of perfectionists are pessimists. Now, for some of you, that's going to really hit hard because you know you're a perfectionist. But let's talk a little bit about why perfectionism is tied to pessimism. Well, think about it. If you're a perfectionist, how often do things need to be perfect? And the answer is always. How many times can things fail? And the answer is never. So perfectionism is part of pessimism because it's all or nothing. There's no in between. And it's got that permanent language to it. So you'll hear perfectionists talk about things like, this has to be perfect. I can never fail. I can't let anybody down. You know, or people will always be disappointed if I don't do the perfect thing. And so one of the things that I realized in my life as I was starting to really get out of this pessimistic mode and adopt new strategies to be optimistic, which you're going to have to listen to the next week's podcast because that's when I uncover those strategies, is that I often would fold after great success because of this perfectionism. And I'm a recovering perfectionist as well. And there's two types of perfectionists. There's the try harder perfectionist. And those are the people that you know that, you know, work extra hours, redo things, touch things up for the fourth time, create the 10th draft of the proposal, and they can never let it go because there's always something to tweak. And they're just always trying harder. And the problem with that is you just get exhausted. And the reality is that if you're tweaking something on a presentation or you're writing a paper or you're, you know, painting a house, whatever it is, you know, the second or third try is about as good as it's going to get. You're getting incremental benefits, you know, on the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth attempt. So perfectionism really exhausts people. Another type of perfectionist is more the type that I was, and that's the give up perfectionist. And so I would say, well, if I can't be perfect, then I'm not going to do it. And so I would go into diets with this really perfectionist attitude, and I would say, you know, it's all or nothing. So I'm going to do it perfectly. And I would measure everything and I would make sure I had the right proportions of fats and carbs, you know, and carbohydrates. And I just would like get just minute details. I'd read every word of the book. And if I felt like I couldn't do it, then I just would give up. And so I would get to these points where I'd have all these successes and I would blow my diet. I'd go through this rant that's, you know, personal and permanent and pervasive. And then I just end up throwing up my hands and just going, you know what? Forget it. It's just not worth it. It's just too hard. And I might as well just eat what I want because it's a lot easier than doing this. So that perfectionism and that pessimism really thwarted my ability to move forward on my health. And it really held me back and kept me stuck. So according to Dr. Seligman, pessimists tend to be people who have more depression, they have more health problems, they have more relationship issues, and they tend to be people who have a harder time reaching their goals. And if you want to read a really good book, read Learned Optimism by Dr. Martin Seligman. And it talks about all the studies that he's done in pessimism and optimism and all the different types of people that he's followed and how, you know, being more optimistic has benefited people and how being more pessimistic has really hurt people. And he's got a neat scale in the back of the book where you can take the scale and it will rate you on a continuum of pessimism and optimism. And when I took this probably 15 years or more ago, I rated a severe pessimist, a moderate to severe pessimist. I was on the wrong side of the continuum. And as soon as I saw that, I thought, you know what? This is, you know, I'm done. Like, I'm never going to get out of this way of thinking like a true pessimist would. So other problems that pessimism really, you know, causes in our lives is pessimists tend to give up their power or give up the control of their lives and let external forces rule them. There was a great interview that I did with my friend Sean Goodsell on being mentally tough. And this is one of the things that he had talked about is that people that are mentally tough don't give their power away. But people who trend more towards pessimism do. They give up their power. And so, you know, you hear people say things like, well, and to be honest, I used to say this, well, I can't lose weight. It's genetic. Because a lot of people in my family had weight problems. And so I thought, well, it's just genetic. I can't do this. Of course I'm going to gain weight. And that kept me stuck and kept me from trying for many years because I just thought this was my lot in life. Or, you know, my spouse or partner is overweight and, you know, I can't lose weight if they don't lose weight because they're going to be eating all this food that I want to eat. And so, you know, it's just, I can't do it if they don't do it too. Well, the great thing is if you can convince somebody close to you and somebody you live with that's struggling with their weight to do it together, that's great. But at some point, you got to own your own life and realize that if they're not willing to move, you can't give your control and your power over to them. You got to do what you need to do to improve your life and to improve your health. So ultimately, pessimism dogged me for years. And I think it's the single biggest reason why I couldn't maintain weight loss. Losing weight was, in a sense, the easier part because I could try all these different diets, whether it was Weight Watchers, Slim Fast, Atkins, you know, vegetarian. So many of the different plans I tried. But ultimately, I would have success and then I would have a failure. And because of my pessimistic leaning, I just would start sabotaging myself. So by transforming the way that I interpret life events, like blowing my diet, you know, like not succeeding in a relationship or whatever it happens to be, I gained more resilience, I gained more mental toughness, And I was able to now start achieving the goals that I did. So I would say that for me, the pessimistic attitude that I had was the biggest reason why I struggled for so many years in the weight loss and the continual weight gain, and why I wasn't able to keep it off. And so by transforming pessimistic thinking and being more optimistic, it helped me achieve my goals. And I believe it's really the mental side of weight loss that's the most difficult to conquer. Because you can implement a variety of diet strategies and ways of eating, but if you don't change how you think and how you interpret life, you may be setting yourself up for another round of failure because you've got to change your thinking first. So what I want to leave you with today is that pessimism is a problem, and it's a problem for many people. And if you're somebody who struggles with that way of interpreting events, that it's personal, right? You blame yourself a lot. You tear at your self-esteem. It's permanent. You hear that language like, I can't do this, or this always happens to me, or this will never work. And that pervasiveness where you just let it permeate to other areas of life that aren't related, like your relationships or your kids, your parenting, your career, right? If you trend more towards that side of the continuum, then what you got to do is start looking at, how do I transform that thinking? And there was a point in my life where I thought, this is it. I can't change how I think. This is just how I'm born. This is how I'm wired. But through the intervention of a really good friend and just through a new strategy of how to change how I was interpreting life events, I turned it around. And so for next week, what we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about optimism, and we're going to talk about that side of the continuum. What is optimism and what it's not? You know, how does optimism really help us achieve our goals, especially around our health? And if you are on that continuum that's more pessimistic, how do you transform that thinking and how do you become more optimistic? Or if you're on the continuum of optimism, but you realize some days you're not as optimistic as you'd like to be, how do you really, you know, increase that optimism to a healthy level? So my encouragement to you is tune in next week so you can hear the rest of the story. And for me, it was optimism and a new way of interpreting life and a new way of thinking that ultimately helped me achieve my long-term weight goals, which I am benefiting from today.
Thanks for listening today. And if you found this podcast helpful, let your friends and family know about it. And if you will, go to iTunes and find the 5%ers podcast and leave a review and let other people know how it's been helpful. If you want to know more about being a 5%er, you can go to my website at dennisbird.org. And remember, folks, when it comes to your health, work hard. Do your best and never give up. Have a great day, everybody.